But that's when he did change the water into wine for the wedding guests. Indeed, this was the hour of his demonstration of power. But why did Jesus at first say that his hour had not yet come? Well, Dave writes, and he says that he believes that it was because Mary first spoke to him. The people at the wedding still had wine in their cups. Jesus was telling his mother, "My time for demonstrating my power hasn't arrived because these people haven't yet run completely out of their resources." Do you get it, people? Do you get it? I do. "My hour comes," Jesus says, "when there's no hope left." See, when there's no hope left, then God can work. I want that to resonate with you, friends. I want that to sink in. When there is no remaining resources to depend on in the flesh, it has to be a moment of total dependence on me. And right now, for me to demonstrate my power, every cup or bottle has to be empty, has to be bone dry. There can be nothing left in a single cup before I can, because these people's, I cannot become these people's provider. All resources have to be exhausted. Don't you get it? Now listen, American Christians, I know, because see, you're not used to thinking this way. "Well, God would never let me get down to nothing." Wait a minute, fool. You are a fool. Whose fool are you? God has seen his children suffer in many countries, in many eras, during many times. Why do you think? I'm looking at a beautiful scene out my window right now. One of my Hispanic neighbors, he's across the street. He's on a walker. I remember when he moved in the house. He was the father of the family. I remember the day the ambulance came and took him from the home. He suffered a disabling stroke, that is. He is on his walker, going one step at a time, working those limbs. A couple of weeks ago, I saw his wife walking him, and I told him when I passed him on the sidewalk, I said, "Keep walking, keep struggling." See, that's my neighbor. Now, what if something befell the whole neighborhood? And hey, I'm watching him, and if he fell on that walker, I'd just leave this studio thing going, and I'd run out the door to help my neighbor. We so busy storing up for ourselves, I'm telling you, Jesus says, I have to let it become exhausted. Do you get the point? Do you get the point? Because if you do not get the point now, you never will get it. That's the time when Christ moves in his power, when all of our resources have dried up. This is exactly what happened with God's people at the Red Sea, isn't it? Israel cried out to God to show his power against the enemy, the Egyptians. But God waited until all hope in human deliverance was gone and all of man-made plans were exhausted. Only in that darkest hour did God move. God could have did something before they was at the brink of the sea to cross, couldn't he? But he didn't do it. And it's also true in the lives of God's people today, my friends. I'm in agreement with Dave Wilkerson on this again. Our Lord's hour comes when we see that there is nothing that we can do to change our circumstances. It happens when we realize, I don't know where my paycheck is going to come from. Oh, praise God. That is so wonderful. I don't know what's going to happen to me or my family. Oh, that's wonderful. See, it's just moving you out of the way. Man, Harley Howard on the radio used to ask this question, are you dead yet? Because you see, my friends, if you're not dead, you can't go there with us. It says, I don't see any resources on either the left or the right. Humanly speaking, there's nothing on the horizon to bring me any reassurance. Good. That's the place where you want to be, my friend. That's the place where you want to start spending eternity. I don't know whether to invest or what to do with my finances, but I have this promise to display his power to keep and to preserve me and my family. Is that right? Is that right? See, Christ's demonstration of power in this passage was not meant merely to please the wedding guests or to save the bridal party from embarrassment. His miraculous work was intended to increase the faith of those in his inner circle, his disciples. Trust me, other folk in the wedding party didn't know what was going on, especially the Lord of the feast, who said, wait a minute, you're supposed to serve the better wine first and then the cheaper brand. He didn't even understand what he was saying. He didn't even understand who he was dealing with. This was God performing a miracle for the people. I don't know what's going to happen to me and my family, Wilkerson says. I don't see any resources on either the left or the right. Humanly speaking, there's nothing on the horizon to bring me reassurance. I did not know where to invest, what to do with my finances, but I have this promise to display his power to me and my family. That is a power that God has given me. Christ's demonstration of power in this passage is not meant to merely please the wedding guests. No, it is not. I care. I care that you have enough to eat, that you have a roof over your head, that you have clothing. When everything around you collapses, that is my hour to demonstrate to you my powerful love and care for you. Let me add this to Dave's text. If he does nothing, that is him demonstrating his love for me. If he does nothing. Oh, my goodness, my neighbor has crossed the street. Now he's passing right directly in front of the Lucy Coleman studio. Has on a pair of dark slippers, and he is walking on his walker. One step at a time. God is good. God is good. He's following the doctor's orders. Man has worked hard, provided for his family, got all those kids and grandkids down there. My neighbor. Yeah. Keep on walking, brother. Keep on walking. My friends, I want to share something with you. The whole earth is about to come under the cover of gross darkness. The hour of such depredation and confusion that only Christ can meet our needs in. We may run out of all of our resources with no human power to turn for help. And then again, we may not run out of those resources. I don't know how it's going to be. But Dave says, yet we can find comfort and assurance in this biblical truth that the darkness are the darker that things get. And that's the key. The darker things get, the brighter our Lord's light will shine. Our time of depression is our Lord's hour of power, and he will provide. You may worry. Will there really be a depression? Will the stock market crash and be followed by unemployment? Will all of our food resources be exhausted? Uncertainty, darkness is everywhere. My only answer is this, Dave Wilkerson says, hold fast to your faith and know that Christ's hour of power has come. I like that. I like that. I like that. Then it says we may be facing the greatest hour of darkness. When all of our resources are exhausted, we'll see miracle after miracle of provision with God's performing supernatural wonders. Now, I don't know what Dave is talking about there. Maybe a supernatural wonder of us eating grass, something like that. I don't know. But, excuse me, he's saving the best wine for the last days, and he's going to miraculously see to it that our daily supply would not be exhausted. Thank God in the light of the darkest hour that may arise in our hearts. and it's going to shine brighter than ever. Now, that's Dave's call on it. I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, it would not matter to me if it shined or went out, because I'm going to trust God any way you look at it. Well, we got about 31 minutes and 30 seconds after we began this presentation. And with that, we're going to segue right into chapter 3, preparing for hard times. God's plan is heart preparation first. I like where Dave is going with this. Numerous Christian investment advisors are circulating newsletters using the internet to suggest ways that Christian believers can prepare for the perilous times ahead. The most common advice to offer is for people to move out of the cities, buy land in secluded areas, dig wells, provide for storage, start hoarding food, blankets, and supplies in order to live a 2 or 3 year supply, have that on hand for the approaching financial crisis. Wow, isn't that amazing? Well, I live in the middle of Los Angeles, and I'm just going to tell you, I depend on people to truck things in to me. So I guess I've just had it, because I'm not hoarding all that, and it wouldn't last 20 minutes. Hey, how about that? I'm going to burn something on my Bunsen burner and cook me something. You think the hungry people 2 blocks away won't smell it? Whew, it's going to be interesting. An elderly Christian woman was given this advice by her friends who are acting on themselves. And not long ago, this dear woman wrote to Dave Wilkerson's ministry asking Pastor David what she could do to prepare for the hard times coming. The lady said that I'm 87 years and 4 months old with limited funds. It's impossible for me to do all the things that they're telling me to do as I listen to them tell me I need to prepare. I would deeply love to live in a country where we have our own well water. I was brought up on a farm, and I know what it's like to live with without modern conveniences. I was one of 12 children, and I've always kept a good supply of food on hand the way that I've learned growing up. But still, I put my trust in God first, and I pray to Him for direction. What else shall I do to prepare, is what she asked. Well, Dave says that he wrote this chapter that the dear 87-year-old saint, and for all other Christians living in the cities, that's me, and the towns, that may be some of you, who have limited incomes, who live from paycheck to paycheck, that's us, who have no money to buy hideaways, that's me, and yet who want to be fully prepared for the financial holocaust. Then Dave says, let me give you what I believe God's mind is on the matter of preparing for hard times. I want to show, Dave says, you how to prepare this way, his way, not man's way. You don't need a huge cash reserve, Dave says. And you don't need to leave your apartment or your house and relocate to the country. Well, if you've been listening to me, you know that I never was planning on doing that. Only a fool would do that. I'm not doing that. And see what I mean about reading Dave Wilkerson? I like reading him because he makes practical sense. Trust me, a lot of these other people are just trying to sell a book. You know, they're a bunch of closet racists that just want to get away from the real people in the universe and live all in the mountains by themselves. We just want to have people like us out here. What kind of language is that? But that's all right. And please don't blame the babies. The babies got to be somewhere. So Dave goes on and says, and you don't need to leave your apartment unless the Lord has led you to do so. God already has a plan for you. I have sought the Lord diligently about my responsibility to my congregation in Times Square Church in New York City, he says, concerning the coming crash. I prayed for weeks that I should what I should do to prepare them for the difficult days ahead. And, you know, I'm glad he said that, because since this church is in Times Square, buddy, it's, ain't nobody running too many places in New York City. One day, he says, I took a walk along a quiet country road so that I could be alone with the Lord to discern his voice. I started to walk at about dusk, and there was a bright moon overhead. As I walked alone, I began to think about what I believe is coming. A few years before the Gulf War, Dave says, that I warned that there would be 100 fires burning in the Middle East. People winked at my words, but after the war, there were precisely 503 fires consuming Kuwaiti oil fields, all set aflame by Saddam Hussein. That, look at this, that and many other warnings I have received have come to pass. So these things, David says, so these days I listen intently when the Lord is speaking to me about coming events. And now let me say this. I believe that there are people that God speaks through in very, very unique, special ways, these things. At times, very limited times, very few times, I am one of those people. God has shown me many things in my own personal ministry, in my own personal life. God has shown me these things, and they come through the a priori vantage point. There's only two ways to know anything in this world. A priori, something coming outside of you that you have not experienced, that you cannot even explain. This is what Dave Wilkerson is talking about. And I believe, in a very limited degree, God is doing this today. Now, some of you that believe that all prophecies have ceased to exist, I disagree with you. God is speaking through men today, just like he's speaking through his Bible. That Bible is the standardized word of God. But we are living in a day and age when God speaks. Well, he's always spoken through men. Not in the sense of Old Testament prophets. Maybe not in the sense of the New Testament prophets that were around during the first century. But God is revealing his will to men through men these days. All right. Dave goes on and says, on the country road that night, I was seeing in my mind's eye New York City burning in flames. I saw more than 1,000 fires burning at one time. And imagine an image, he said, that he had seen before. There were riots, bloodshed, tanks rolling into the streets, troops wielding rifles in an attempt to restore order. People were robbing grocery stores for provisions, looting merchants, raging out of control. Then, as I walked further along, I thought of all the wonderful, faithful people who attend the Times Square Church, devoted Christians who would be caught in the middle of it all. I realize that when the riots come, that there will be no food left for them in the grocery stores. Computer disasters will affect their jobs and their paychecks. Violence on the streets could keep them shut up in their homes, perhaps for weeks. Then Dave goes on and says, I became so overwhelmed at these thoughts that I had to grab into a rail fence to support myself. I've been there before. I have been there as a pastor. I have seen, you know what? I just got to pause right now and say this. I have seen the death of a baby right before me. And when I went to the baby shower in the church that I pastored, I told the people, don't get used to this.